This is The Mountain Life. I'm Lynn Ware Peak. Colorectal cancer is now the leading cause of cancer-related death for Americans under 50. Every day, nearly 60 young adults are diagnosed, and without urgent action, cases in people ages 20 to 39 could rise by 90% by 2030. Today, I'm speaking with Michael Sapienza. He's the CEO of the Colorectal Cancer Alliance, the nation's leading nonprofit dedicated to ending this disease. He'll share how the Alliance Project's Cure Colorectal Cancer is accelerating cutting-edge research, improving survival, and changing the trajectory of colorectal cancer. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
This is a topic that keeps popping up. These kind of topics, they swirl about and it brings people's collective awareness to them. But there's a reason that there is this collective awareness and people tuning in to colorectal cancer. And what is that?
Yeah, unfortunately, we've seen, you know, a very, very large increase in the number of people diagnosed. I'm sure, you know, most of your listeners hopefully saw the news, but it's now, unfortunately, the number one cause of cancer-related deaths for both men and women under 50. And I will tell you, my mom was diagnosed 20 years ago in 2006 at the age of 55, and it definitely was not the number one killer then. So we have just seen this dramatic increase in especially young people, and actually most other cancers, we've seen a decrease in the number of young people that are dying from them.
So do we have any idea why younger and younger people are getting this cancer?
Yeah, I mean, the answer is no. Unfortunately, we don't. I think we have some hypotheses, like, for example, you know, in the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, kids were playing in the dirt more. Let's just say that, right? Riding their bikes, playing in the dirt. They were not using antibacterial soap anywhere near as much. They weren't taking in as many antibiotics. They were drinking real orange juice, real apple juice, instead of sugary-based drinks, instead of vitamin C and vitamin D-based drinks. Environmentally, they may be in a different place in terms of all these different factors. We really just don't know. Like, is it Colgate toothpaste? And I don't mean to pick on Colgate. Or yeah. Is it Head and Shoulders? We really don't know. But we do know that it's probably something that has changed in what we call our gut microbiome. So it's like this, that's our protective mechanism, that if something happens to that, it's altered, you know, there's a much higher likelihood that you'll have a DNA alteration that will cause cancer. You know, it's also interesting, Lynn, because there was a study that came out of Inova Cancer Center, which is in right near Washington, D.C., that said that marathon runners were at a higher risk for this. Now, the question is why? Well, we don't know. I have a hypothesis, which I'm not going to say what it is because, you know, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but 90% of these young people are having colorectal cancer in what's called their rectal sigmoid area. So for those of you that don't know, it's like a question mark, your entire colon, your rectum, and it's the part right after your rectum where it goes up to your right. So a lot of your stool sits there for a long time and it's waiting to leave. And at that point, there's a lot of bacteria in that stool. So anyway, if you think about someone that's running, you know, it is actually potentially just gravity-wise being pushed down further. So there's so many hypotheses around the why, but unfortunately, you know, we don't know. And I don't know if we will ever know, because if you think about it, is it like, okay, Chris Sapienza, that's my mom. I know she wasn't below 50, but let's say, okay, well, she ate too much red meat and she used Head and Shoulders shampoo and she didn't play in the dirt enough. Or was it 10% of one of the other things? Like, you know what I mean? It's really hard to figure out.
Yes, indeed. And actually, that's a question that One should probably never even ask, you know, like, oh, how did this happen? Because no one knows how anyone gets cancer. It is so random. You said something that was really interesting to me. I remember reading, you know, many years ago that cancer can be, you know, can happen from stagnation, you know, whether it's stagnation in your colon or, you know, as you said, in your sigmoid
Colon.
colon, yeah. And I just cancers in general and stagnation in general, which I don't know why I've always carried that thought, but that's really interesting. So it's not necessarily when they do say a colonoscopy and they find cancer, you're not finding a higher incidence of cancer among people who have, say, like a longer, more twisty colon or things like that. No.
No, unfortunately, no. And you know, it's tough for young people too, because you, again, you know, you're these healthy 20, 30, 40-year-olds, you know, prime of their life with young kids, and then there's this, you know, this devastating diagnosis. And I've unfortunately, the first patient that I met after my mom died was a woman named Jen Puglisi, and she was diagnosed at the age of 29 and died at 33 with a young son, Rocco. And it just, you know, there's no rhyme or reason. So
If you're just joining me on the Mountain Life, I'm having a conversation with Michael Sapienza. He is the CEO of the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. And I almost said that you were also the founder, but I understand that you founded after your mother passed away, and I'm very sorry for your loss. You decided to kind of dedicate your life to this. And I think you merged your organization with the Colorectal Cancer Alliance, and now you're the CEO. So this has been a huge part of your life, a very personal part of your life. Do you feel like research, funding, all of that is doing service to this type of cancer?
no. I would say so. My mom died on Mother's Day in 2009, and thank you, Lynn, for saying that. I still, to this day, 17 years later, it's like I felt myself getting emotional you saying it. We've made a ton of progress, right? I would say, the organization and others that are in this space are the reason why people know about young onset colorectal cancer, know about colon cancer. You know, we've worked with Ryan Reynolds and Dak Prescott and Katie Couric and all these people to really get the awareness out there. But the bottom line is it is still one of the most deadly cancers that there is, meaning there's a lack of money for research. For example, breast cancer gets $1.1 billion for research federally. We get $350 million. More people die of colorectal cancer than die of breast cancer. If you look at the overall survival for breast cancer, it's about 92%. For colon cancer, it's 62%. And when you have late stage disease, colorectal cancer has this 5-year survival rate of 13% versus breast cancer, that's about 40%. So there's a huge discrepancy in research funding, and it's one of the things that we are really, really, really trying to supercharge, because it takes a village. You know, it's incredible what the best breast cancer community has done. It's incredible what the HIV/AIDS community has done. It's incredible what even heart disease and juvenile diabetes and other diseases, malaria in Africa, et cetera. Like, they've built huge communities around this, and that is what like we are trying to do, in memory of my mom, but in memory of like millions of other people that have had it and will unfortunately get it.
Yeah. So, as sort of a call out to young people out there who, you know, this is the leading cause of cancer-related deaths for people under 50, as we said in the intro, but I feel like we couldn't say it enough to really make it hit home. But what are those types of prevention that, you know, unfortunately, we all, you know, at a 30-year-old can't just go get a colonoscopy. And we know now that it used to be, you know, when we were 50, we could qualify or be eligible for colonoscopy. Now I think it's been moved down to 45 or 40,
Yeah,
but
45.
30-year-old can't go get one. So what's the prevention out there?
Yeah, so a couple things. So one thing I would say, obviously, the usual things that to help what we call modifiable factors or preventive factors. So exercise, diet high in fiber and low in red meat and processed meat. It doesn't mean you can't have a steak every once in a while. Of course you can, but not your main diet should not be processed and red meats. And then I think the other thing, obviously, is alcohol and smoking. Those, it's kind of like the big four, I say, for colorectal cancer: exercise, alcohol, smoking, and then the red meat and processed meat is a big thing because of your, it's your gut, right? And then the other thing I say is, no matter what, though, we have these marathon running, cardboard eating 29-year-olds that are getting it, even if they live the most healthy life possible. And so I think the most important thing I can say to anybody, especially those under the screening age of 45, if you have unexpected weight loss, if you have blood in your stool, if you have a change in bowel habits, if you have night sweats, and those things persist for more than 2 to 3 weeks, you need to see either your primary care physician or a GI doc as soon as possible. And we've done a lot of things, studies, Lynn, that show that on average, someone has to see a doctor 3 times before getting diagnosed with colorectal cancer. And they're misdiagnosed because they say, oh, you have hemorrhoids, or oh, you have this, or oh, it's your mind, or whatnot, and come back in 3 months. Well, when they come back, it's late stage. And so again, I'll just say those factors again. If you have unexpected weight loss, blood in your stool, especially dark blood, if you have night sweats, or if you have change in bowel habits, you definitely, and those things last for more than 2 or 3 weeks, you want to demand, especially going to the doctor, number one, for yourself or your loved ones, but also demand that colonoscopy. That is what's really important because that's what's going to help make sure that you do not have it or prevent it before it gets late stage.
This is really crucial advice that you're passing on here. And aside from colonoscopy, I know there are those other tests that have been developed, some of which you can do at home. Can you talk a little bit about those and, whether or not they're effective?
Yeah, absolutely. So for anybody that is 45 years or older, if they are average risk. So what is average risk? It means you do not have a family history of colorectal cancer or a family history of like IBS or IBD, right? So let's say my mom was diagnosed at 40. I should actually be getting screened 10 years prior to when your first degree relative got the disease. So again, if she got diagnosed at 40, I should be getting screened at 30. So that's something really important. And obviously there is colonoscopy for people that have had the disease in their family. They have to get a colonoscopy. That is the test they should get. For others that are what we call average risk, so they have no family history, starting at 45, Cologuard, which is an at-home test, is very, very good. And it is A, recommended by I call them the gods, it doesn't matter, the powers to be have really looked at this. You have to do it every 3 years. And if it is positive, you do have to get a colonoscopy, right? Because you want to make sure that you find those polyps and get them out before it turns into cancer. But the Cologuard test is very effective, very effective. And I think, we think about these younger people, even 45 to 55, they're in the prime of their lives. They may have kids that just gone to college or in high school. They're busy with their career still. And they may like be like my mom, for example, and be like, you know what? I can take care of everybody else, but I'm the last one that comes first. And so that is why Cologuard, I think, for people that are at average risk, is a very good test.
And can you get that over the counter? Do you have to have some?
Yeah, you have to get a prescription from your doctor, or you can visit. There are some now programs that in some states where you can visit Cologuard.com to kind of figure out if that's, you can do it via, a prescription online, but mostly you have to get a prescription from your doctor.
If someone has gotten their first colonoscopy and they have polyps, is that any indicator that, so the polyps are benign, say, but is that any indicator that you have greater risk of having colorectal cancer?
It's not necessarily greater risk of you having colorectal cancer, depending on, what the type of polyp is, but it means that you are a greater risk of developing polyps, meaning you're technically maybe a polyp producer. Just happens to be there's a bunch of different reasons why you get polyps. And so it does mean that if you have, like, for example, I've had polyps every time I've gone to get a colonoscopy, so I go every 3 years. Now, I also have a family history. But some people, it's like, okay, if I have two benign polyps or one benign polyp, you need to go every 5 years. So you really need to talk to your doctor. If you've had your first colonoscopy, they give you that report, and those lovely pictures afterwards, and they say, we're going to test the polyps. If it's benign or if it's not benign, you need to just say, hey, do I come back? When do I come back? 3 to 5 years. Because there are people that do that first one and they're like, oh, yeah, I had one polyp, but it's fine. And then they don't go back. And it still can develop. And that's why this screening is just, it's so important. My mom would have got it, she would still be alive.
Right. What was the course of your mom's diagnosis, and what stage was she at? Did she have symptoms? Because this is something I hear, is that a lot of colorectal cancers are asymptomatic.
Yeah. You do not want to wait for symptoms. It is not a disease that you want to wait for symptoms to go get screened. You have to go get screened at the ages that are appropriate. Again, 45 or older, or 10 years prior to first degree relative if they had colorectal cancer. So my mom, unfortunately, when she was 56 years old, she had never been screened. And she went to get a colonoscopy. I mean, and I'll never forget when they called me. And I was in my previous world, I was a professional trumpet player. That's what I did for a living. And I remember I had just performed with Yo-Yo Ma the night before, Shostakovich Cello Concerto and Shostakovich Symphony Number 5, and I was living in Miami Beach. And both my parents were on the phone, and my mom said, we've hit a bump in the road. And she was like, we found a large mass in my colon. And the first thing I thought, I was like 28 years old, and I'm or 27 years old, I'm like, well, where's your colon? It's like I hear your bowel or your intestines or whatever. But unfortunately, she was diagnosed stage 3, so it wasn't in other organs yet. But unfortunately, after her chemo, et cetera, it came back, and the tumor was wrapped around what you call your portal vein, which is the main vein that goes, provides most of the blood flow into your, digestive system. And they couldn't cut it out. And unfortunately, she died 2.5 years later from the disease. She did multiple rounds of chemo. But I will say at that point, there was something called 5-FU, which is the frontline treatment for anybody that has colorectal cancer. Guess what the frontline treatment for most people that have colorectal cancer is now? 5-FU. So we've made some advances. For like 5% of people, they respond to immunotherapy. We've unlocked that key for about 5% of colorectal cancers. But for 95% of the patients, we still do not have, after 15 to 20 years, additional therapies for more than 5 to 10% of people that get diagnosed late stage.
Wow. So it's because the research hasn't found these different protocols that can be applied to different types, different stages. Is that it? And then, it all comes back to kind of funding and really taking this cancer seriously.
Yeah, it's funding. I mean, bottom line is, Lynn, like if you think about an organization like the Colorectal Cancer Alliance, like when we merged, well, when my mom died, the budget of the Colon Cancer Alliance was at $1 million. 1 million for the second leading cause overall. So Breast Cancer Susan G. Komen was a $400 million organization. Leukemia and Lymphoma Society was a $200 million organization. And so we've grown substantially, right, since then. But we are nowhere near $200 million. And so, just like anything in the world, funding for colorectal cancer research is vitally important. And, I believe there's a couple reasons why it's not there. One is people, don't want to talk about a place where the sun don't shine, right? They don't want to talk about it. I think they're getting more comfortable talking about it, I hope, based on what we've done. We don't have, the largest community in all of cancer, like breast cancer does, or like leukemia and lymphoma does. And I feel like we as an organization are still very young, 25 years old as an organization, right? Even though in the first 10 years was like all volunteer led. So it is incumbent upon us to make sure that, more people are getting involved, more people are giving, like donating, whether that's $5 or $5 billion. We need more people a part of this fight so that their children and their grandchildren don't have to worry about this disease. Being the number one cause of cancer-related deaths under 50, it's not only a moral thing, but it's also a economic thing, right? As I was saying, these people are productive members of society, and it is a problem.
I was somewhat heartened. I was on your website, and there are these little pop-ups every time someone donates. And, in 5 minutes or so, there were, albeit lots of $15 and $20 donations, which, of course, it all helps. It all helps. But, they were popping up. So people are aware of this. I would have preferred to see a couple million-dollar donations, but you're doing really fabulous work. Do you also work with the American Cancer Society, or what kind of work are they doing?
Yeah, so the American Cancer Society, we've done a lot of work with them. For example, they actually just did the epidemiology study that came out with it is the number one cancer killer for under 50. Now, we are the main funders of research. We have obviously, this thing called Project Cure CRC, which has been the largest philanthropic investment that has happened. We've funded about $15 million in research just in the last 18 months to 33 institutions across the country. We're about to, embark on what we call an adaptive clinical trial platform. I know it's a kind of like a nerdy term, but it is basically something where all over the country, there's an ability for drug companies to find fast signals if something works. They've done it in breast cancer. They've done it in leukemia and lymphoma. They've done it in other diseases. So we're really, really hopeful on that too. But we partner with a lot of different organizations, because we have to. It's really, I think, really important to be collaborative, because there's no way that one organization is going to do it all. Working with the FDA, working with NCI, working with all of the different players, for sure.
Well, Michael, I know you need to go, but I wanted to ask you a final question about these cancer screenings that you can get, kind of general cancer screening. Some people get them annually. Are those screenings, did those screenings pick up colorectal cancer? Do you know which ones I'm talking about?
Yeah, they're called multi-cancer early detection tests. And first of all, they're not covered by insurance yet. Second of all, they are not a replacement for approved colorectal cancer screenings, meaning a colonoscopy, a Cologuard, or a FIT test. So, I mean, I call it rich people's medicine in a way, because it is not there yet. Is there promise that one day we can do that? Yes. Would I tell my kids to take that instead of a colonoscopy or a Cologuard? Absolutely not. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good to know. Cologuard, that is sounds like the first step that we probably all should take, right?
I
I mean,
like
just
that. I've never thought about it like
I
that.
mean, how about a baseline, Just, I mean, I don't know if the Cologuard would give us a baseline like a colonoscopy would, but if you're not eligible, then we all should do it. Well, Michael Sapienza, it has been a real pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for this information. I mean, the work you're doing is wonderful, and it's really hard to say that because you got here by losing your mother. I don't
Yeah.
know why that just made me just
It's
stuck
because you're a
with me.
mom. It's because you're a mom. No, thank you for bringing me on, because it is important that everybody hears this message. Yeah. Thank you, Lynn. Have a great one.
Again, that was Michael Sapienza. You can find more information about colorectal cancer at colorectalcancer.org. Just a quick mention, he mentioned working with Katie Couric, Zach Prescott, and Ryan Reynolds. Many people remember Katie Couric's husband, Jay, died of colorectal cancer In the late 90s, when he was only, I think, 41 years old, Zach Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys, his mother passed away from colorectal cancer, and Ryan Reynolds had a very public colonoscopy online where in which a polyp was found and taken off. So there you have it.